This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
It's funny because we were talking about LeBron's comments as part of Yeah Man, No Man. Oren was letting us hear what LeBron said about being the face of the league, and they were asking him about Ant-Man. He wasn't answering the question as he's the face. We already know that. But Faye hits us up and says, LeBron's always crying. This is what I'm talking about. Like, immediately the first thing out of Faye's mouth is LeBron's always crying because everybody doesn't think he's number one. That's not why that you want to say that. That's part of this is that everybody's just been more critical of him. And that's kind of where I'm at. Turtle, I hear what you're saying. He's certainly got his flowers and his respect. But I also think there's been a lot of disrespect. And part of this is, like, you know, when you say LeBron's always crying, I guess y'all never watched Jordan. I guess y'all didn't watch Mike. I guess y'all didn't watch Mike work the refs. I guess y'all didn't watch Mike get the calls he got in games and playoff series time after time. Like, I don't know what, if you're old enough to remember these things, then it's easy to sit here and be like, well, you know what? You're right, Dukes. I know this because I saw it with my own eyes. This whole crying thing, everybody complains in the league about calls and all of this stuff, but the idea that LeBron is upset because you don't think he's number one, half of the country does think he's the best player in the world. Well, the other half doesn't.
Well,
That's fine.
Yeah, and the other thing too, Carl, is you don't think when Jordan was playing the Bad Boys in the late 80s, early 90s, that Detroit fans didn't despise him? You don't think when he was going up against the Suns trying to get Barkley a championship, you don't think everybody in the Valley thought Jordan was the devil incarnate? Of course they did. It just wasn't on social media. That's the difference today, is it's instant and it's in your face. The only times you got to see it is in the stands with Jordan. You don't think that everybody that was rooting on Isaiah and everybody else on that team, Joe Dumars, you don't think they wanted Jordan? Of course they did. They despised him. Like, to sit back and have revisionist history, like Jordan was beloved by everybody in the NBA.
He was.
But Carl, come on.
He was.
But you think when he was going for all those titles in a row, you think fans in Phoenix and fans in Orlando and fans of these teams that were going up against him year in and year out, you don't think they would have said the same thing that people who don't like LeBron say today? Of course they would have. There's just not a platform for it. There's a platform for it today. It's a huge difference.
Well, yes, there's a platform for idiots. I would agree. But I would also say that we were not brainwashed, made to believe that he was infallible. The marketing campaign around Michael Jordan is why he still sells Air Jordans today. Oren, what did you tell me today before we came on the show? And both Oren and I are sneakerheads, okay? I'll tell you, I got more shoes than I'll probably ever wear in my life. Is it a waste of money? Maybe. But I will tell you, and I've said this to Mike because we got into this conversation one day. As kids growing up, my mom would allow us to go, like, you know, school shopping, and we buy school shoes and all this kind of stuff. But I was never able to ever really get the shoes that either were popular or that I really wanted to, simply because they were just too expensive. And I said one day when I, you know, become an adult, if I'm ever able to, I'm going to be able to buy the shoes I want. Well, maybe I've gone above and beyond that. But, oh, I have a shoe issue. It's documented.
Yes.
And you said to me today about the new Jordans that are coming out. What did you tell me today?
The Flu Games, the Jordan 12s, the Flu Game 12s are coming out tomorrow.
You know what? They will be sold out within 5 minutes of release.
30,000 of them are going to be released, and they'll be gone. The drop is at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, and by 10:05, there won't be any left.
How much are these shoes, though?
$210.
Sold out within 5 minutes.
You know who's trying to get them tomorrow, Carl? You and I.
Yeah, of course.
You know, this will be my third pair I've gotten so far this year, too. My third pair.
My point is this, Chris. Why? Michael Jordan hadn't played a game since
2003.
Why? That is how strong we believe in the product of what he was and how he inspired people and how it's still cool to wear Jordans. That ain't happened with nobody else. So when you say, were they rooting against him? Of course the fans in those cities were. You're right about social media, but I also think that across the board, Jordan is beloved way more so than LeBron.
But that's because of the era. If LeBron played when Jordan played, it would be the same thing. I bet you LeBrons that were dropping, the LeBrons that would drop now would get the same type of reaction that the Jordans get. It's such a big, like, I think we're glossing over how big of a deal it is to talk about playing when LeBron played versus playing when Jordan played. And playing when Jordan played versus when playing when Bill Russell played. I think Bill Russell would have been regarded as the greatest player of all time, or Wilt would have been regarded as the greatest player of all time, if there was more access to them. There was such limited access to them. But you go look at their stats. Bill Walton's what, an 10-time champion?
Yep.
Wilt scored 100 points in a game and did 100 things in other different 100 ways that we all love him for, according to mythology. I mean, in all seriousness, though, you have to take it from when it happened. Like,
so wouldn't it be more, though, now with the exposure? Don't we have more access than we ever have?
Yeah, but it exposes
LeBron's don't sell more than Jordan's.
But it exposes you to both sides of it. That's the problem, Carl. It exposes you to the adoration, but it also exposes you to the criticism. Jordan wasn't facing that type of criticism day in and day out.
No, he wasn't.
He just wasn't.
No.
You think mid 90s Jordan was getting accosted by the beat writers for the Bulls? they were sucking up to him. Come on, man. Like, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, LeBron is, honestly, I think you could even make the argument it's more impressive what LeBron has done. Because you look at his career, and from start to finish, the spotlight that he's been under is the first of its kind.
Yes.
It is.
And that's why I'm saying what I'm saying about him feeling that way about being the face and understanding why some guys, Anthony Edwards, may not want to take that on, because he understands it really doesn't matter, you know, what you do, no matter how good it might be or how you own your P's and Q's. It's just an interesting conversation. Good stuff. Oh, I appreciate you chiming in there, because we were talking about that, and I was like, man, those shoes will be gone in 5 minutes. But
Turn that notification on.
But it's just a testament to, you know, again, and the irony of all of this is that there are people who are listening to this show. You've been born since Michael Jordan retired. You never saw him play. Yet you sport Jordans. Why? Like, that's the impact socially, you know, and from a marketing standpoint that he had on the league and certainly the world. We got more to get to here. It's Dukes and Bell. Chris is in for Mike today. Chris, you see what you did? You led me down this rabbit hole.
Well, you know what's funny, Carl? Before we get to the dogs, real quick, the irony in all of this conversation, my girlfriend, for our anniversary, just bought me my first pair of Jordans.
Wow.
I will wear them on Monday to the studio.
Okay.
And you guys can check them out.
Yeah, that's what's up.
How about that? So after all that going round and round, I actually just received, and you know what I did? You know what I did, Carl, to make sure I was a true Jordan aficionado? Kept the box.
Yeah.
Oh!
You absolutely kept the box.
I kept the box. How about
See?
That?
See? Now you're in the club. You have joined us.
What's going to happen, Terrell? You're going to put that first pair on? You're going to be like, you know what? I think I can get a second pair of these. Then it becomes a third pair. Then it becomes the 24th pair.
And then you become Orin.
And you become me and Carl, yeah.
That's cool. All right. That is funny, man. By the way, she's a keeper. Can I tell you that?
She is.
She's a keeper. I mean, you know, just a few things you've told me about how she's going all out for you. Wow.
She's up my swag, Carl. She really has.
I'm going to say, no doubt about it. All right, that's nice. That's a nice gift. Hey, guys, this hour is brought to you by our friends at Mark Spain Real Estate. Let's talk some dogs. Do you think Gunnar Stockton is tough, Chris? Do you think he's tough?
I don't think there's anybody that could say he's not after what he did against Texas. I mean, that shot that he took and was able to play through it, I mean, I think any of us would have been where Mike Bell was at the beginning of this week.
What did the safety from Texas, because he's going to be a top pick. Andrew, what's the kid's name?
Makuba.
Said this at the combine, was talking to the media about it. He was asked, by the way, he didn't just say this, but they were asking him about Gunnar Stockton. This is a testament to Gunnar Stockton that, one, he got up from that. Two, he didn't cough the ball up. But the fact that the Dogs are still able to go on and win, if you were wondering about his toughness, go back and watch that hit in the SEC championship game. What did the kid say about Gunnar Stockton, Turtle?
Yeah, he said, quote, I was a little surprised he got up, but the situation we were in, all I was trying to do was get the ball out by any means possible. We were in overtime. Obviously, he chose to run up the middle, and I was going to hit him as hard as I could.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City. Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
To try to dislodge the ball. If the ball would have come out, there would have been a win for us. But shout out to him. He was able to get up and bounce it off.
And he was good and tough. So that's high praise from a good player.
It is. And I know for Dawg fans, we're going to see here at the spring game and certainly throughout the course of the spring, hearing more about this quarterback battle that I think should be going on with him and Ryan Pugliese. But I also think Gunnar Stockton showed you something there. You know, you wonder certain things about your quarterback until he gets into certain situations. We wonder the same things about Stetson Bennett. Not necessarily his toughness, but, oh, can he bring him back from behind? You know, is he afraid to throw the ball down the field in the tight windows when he needs to? He answered all those questions. And Gunnar Stockton answered one question for me moving forward. Now, I don't know how good he's going to be, but he's tough. I mean, I don't have to worry about him, you know, sucking it up, as we like to say, and getting back on the field. That's the cool thing about that element of what he saw or what we saw in the SEC championship game.
My only concern, the offensive line, Carl, was not great last year. And the bulk of the guys that were good are gone. So you're going to have to rely on guys to step their game up, and also you're going to insert one or two new guys into the starting lineup. So if you're going to have him back there and he's going to try to play Superman, which is fine because we've seen college quarterbacks do that. Cam Newton comes to mind specifically. He won them a national title playing Superman. I'm okay with it. But the offensive line needs to do its part. Otherwise, you're going to get him killed. So that's my only concern is, you know, Mike Bell likes to criticize Mike Bobo and Stacey Shurls and everybody else there. Well, as much as we have fun with it, they are going to really need to have a tremendous offseason and get those guys ready, because if a big part of the offense is going to be, even if it's just the threat of his legs, the offensive line needs to back him up. And after what we saw last year, they got some work to do.
Yeah, it's true. He did say that. That is not doctored audio, by the way. I know he tries to blame Orn for all this. He has said everything, including what's the latest thing he said about One Falcon? What's the latest that Mike has said? Because he said this, and he's tried to say this is doctored audio. He's not.
I hate Grady.
Yeah, those things came out of his mouth. I don't know what he's talking about when he says I didn't say that.
I hate Grady.
404-726-0929. It is our Solomon Brothers text line, or should I say our text line. You can hit us up. Also find us on social media. We'd love to hear your comments. Steve Coonan is going to join us a little bit later on this hour. Also, if you're just tuning in, Matthew Stafford's going back to the Rams. This is good news for the Falcons. It's great news. We're going to explain why and how this is all going down and what the domino effect means for the free agent quarterbacks when we come back on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coonan Hawk CEO is going to join us in less than 10 minutes. You know what's funny, Chris? When we have these conversations about stars like LeBron James, and how do we even get into that, by the way? Was that the yeah man, no man question?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was about LeBron. We played the soundbite from LeBron.
That's right.
Talking about Ant-Man saying he didn't want to be the face of the league.
That's right. Okay, so now I'm getting texts from people that we work with who are even going in on LeBron. You know who you are. I'm not going to give you credit. I'm not even going to say your name on the air, Parla. As I just got a nasty, nasty text message about LeBron, and he basically said the same thing that I was talking about. There seems to be this criticism that some people can't get over with LeBron. And he's like, LeBron's a B, and I'm like, come on. Come on, this is ridiculous. I mean, these are the kind of things I'm talking about, Turtle. So I just want to point that out, Parla, that there are people who we even work with who are upset about us talking about Jordan and LeBron. It's unbelievable.
Guys, Parla, I appreciate everything you do for us at Twin Peaks and Hooters, but you got to get your head on straight there, pal. Here's the thing. Again, if you missed it last segment, if Michael Jordan played today, he would be going through the same things that LeBron is going through.
He would be. I agree with you.
He would be going through the same thing. LeBron is a generational talent that is playing in the first of his kind, meaning the social media era. It's given you unfettered access to the biggest stars in the world the way that it never has before. Guys, take another example of the greatest players of every generation. Go back to when Derek Jeter was making women sign packs before they left his house. You know why that didn't get out?
And getting gift baskets.
Right. You know why that didn't get out? Because there was no social media back then.
He was in New York City.
The White House with the Cowboys. You know why that didn't get out until after the fact or until they wanted it out? Because there was no social media. Guys, that's what you need to understand. Michael Jordan is mythologized the way that he is because partly, it's partly because of when he played. It's partly because of that. Obviously, the rings and the scoring titles and being the GOAT, that's all. Nothing would ever take anything away from that from him. And I do think Michael Jordan is the GOAT.
I do too.
First of all.
No, I do too. As much as I love LeBron, I do too.
Right.
I had the pleasure, like so many, to see him. See, the thing about Mike, and this is not that LeBron hasn't done this, because I think there are kids who are growing up who watch LeBron and he has inspired them. But Mike inspired you to be a kid that would go out and play in his driveway and attempt the last shot. Like we talk about, you know, growing up. There are very few players who do that, where you watch them, and when you watch The Last Dance, and you didn't see this documentary, go back and watch it. It came out right during the pandemic, 2020, and everybody's at home, and we were looking for stuff, and it's 10 parts. I think it's on Netflix now. But there is a part in there that just shook me to my core that made me even love Michael Jordan more. And it had to do with, you may remember this, Orin, when he talks about if you didn't want to play a certain way, I didn't want you to be on my team.
Yeah.
And it almost brought him to tears. And the point was, I'm going to play my ass off every single night. It didn't matter if we were playing the worst team in the league or we were playing the best team. I will tell you this. I never got cheated watching him. I never, ever got cheated anytime I ever put my eyes on him in person or whether it was on television. And that is why he is who he is. So I'm with you. He is the GOAT for me. But I also think there is a major disrespect that goes on with LeBron that he is never, ever going to be able to overcome. And I do think you're right because of social media and the criticism that comes with that. By the way, I'll tell you guys this, because I've talked to guys that played during that era now with Mike and against Mike. I don't know if Mike would have survived in the social media era. I'm going to be real with y'all. Some of y'all don't want to keep it real.
Well, he had his extracurriculars, Carl.
There was a lot going on.
And
okay?
You know who does not? At least to our knowledge, LeBron. It may come
correct.
Out. Anything can happen in the future. Who knows? Maybe he's done the best job ever, even with social media, of keeping certain things that he enjoys under wraps. Mike made no bones about it, Carl. He liked to gamble. You always see him with the big sticks, the cigars.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He enjoyed a certain type of lifestyle. There's no bones about it. But the other thing, too, that I think we need to recognize as we dive deeper into this conversation is Michael Jordan, at the end of the day, is somebody that played at a perfect time. Like, he played in the era right after Magic and Bird revived the sport.
Yeah.
So with all those new eyes and those fresh eyes and the kids that are singing the song in the background, if I could be like Mike, the NBA was at an unprecedented popularity at that point.
Why ain't there a song like I Want to Be Like LeBron? I'm just asking.
Because you know what the problem is, Carl? These mumble rappers today wouldn't know what to do with it. That's the thing. Yeah, go get Trippie Redd to go cut a track about LeBron James. And I'm just saying, Carl. They wouldn't know what to do with it. And that's part of the problem.
Just dissing Trippie Redd today, huh?
Yeah,
you telling me Dolce couldn't put nothing together for LeBron? I mean, come on.
She might. Because you know what? She's got an old school flow.
She does.
You saw that performance.
Yeah,
she's
I
got.
Like
a, she's able to tap in to something that we haven't seen in a while. But
no, it's true.
The other guys out there, like, you can't tell me today, Carl, that you just didn't exactly describe what the old man get off my lawn hates about the modern athlete. It's exactly what you just described to a T. There's not guys out there that want to take the reins. Who wants to be the face of baseball? Who wants to be the face of the NFL? Who wants to be the face of the NBA? The modern athlete today, for whatever reason, you can blame NIL, you can blame social media, you can blame less intense practice conditions, whatever you want to load management, whatever you want to blame. everybody who's out there listening that feels like today's modern athlete could never lead the way Jordan did, could never lead the way Wayne Gretzky did, could never lead the way Derek Jeter did with the Yankees back in the day. They have a point, because we're seeing it now. You literally have one of the top five young stars in the league say, nah, I'm good. I'll just be a guy that has some high-flying dunks and curses a lot on the air. I'm good. Would you know, Joe Dumars and Isaiah say that with the Bad Boys back in the day? No.
They'd say,
if you try to cross us, we're going to body you. And they did. And that's part of the problem.
Real quick, Oren, while we're going down this path, and we're going to get back into the Falcons. Again, this conversation has taken a life of its own simply because of what LeBron said last night. For those of you who missed it, and Oren mentioned this, Ant-Man was given a technical, double technical, actually, and got thrown out of the game. Now he's been suspended and will miss. Is it one game, fellas? He's going to miss one game.
Yes, one game for the technical accumulation.
Okay, so the technical accumulation, which I think is 16 in the league, he is now going to miss one game. And so then LeBron was asked about Ant-Man being the face of the league. And we just had this conversation the other day. It was funny that we were just talking about this, because I think Chris brought it up, and we were talking about who really can be the face of the league. And you, I think you brought up Jason Tatum, and I told you Tatum's not that dude. This is LeBron on why he thinks guys don't want to be the face. And remember, he's been the face for 20 years.
I mean, it's unfortunate, but like, I don't know. Why do you want to be the face of the league when all the people that, you know, that cover our game and talk about our game on a day-to-day basis on everybody? I mean, have that responsibility. It's just weird. It's weird energy from the people that, you know, I don't know. But
why would you want to be the face of the league when everybody that covers our league craps on you day to day? That's basically what he said. You think he's wrong about that? You think that's misguided for somebody that's lived it?
Yeah, I just need to know how long he's felt this way. Like, if he's felt this way since 2007, okay, fine. But this, to me, I feel like goes back to the conversation we were just having about the modern athlete. Is the modern athlete soft? Is the modern athlete somebody that's going to take what media and what the newspapers and radio and us and TV says about them and take it to heart? Because back in the day, if you did that, you know what you were, Carl. You know what they called you in the locker room if you were soft and sensitive like that.
No doubt.
You weren't allowed to be. Today's athlete's different. Caleb Williams, painting his fingernails. I don't care what you feel about it one way. You can love it or hate it. But the point is, the freedom of expression to do something like that or to call out the media the way LeBron just did, Carl, that's new. That's very new. That didn't used to happen. Yeah, managers would go off on a reporter if they misquoted them, or, you know, you had Tommy Lasorda back in the day and old school baseball managers. Sure, that's one thing. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about athletes like Kevin Durant who take things personally.
Sure.
They take it personally, Carl. And when you do that, you could be seen as soft. You could be seen as weak. You could be seen as somebody who's not a leader. And I think that's becoming problematic and symptomatic across not just the NBA, but across all of sports.
Let me ask you this one thing. Steve Coonan's on the way, guys. Falcon Report at 5 o'clock here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour, again, brought to you by our friends at Mark Spain Real Estate. If you are a guy that can accept the role of being one of the faces of the NBA, because I don't know if we're going to have one face. I think there are a lot of young stars. A guy that's in town tonight that we were talking about and going to talk about, SGA, doesn't say a whole lot. Plays his butt off and is one of the best players in the league, could easily be one of the faces of the NBA. Now, he plays in Oklahoma City, small market, so I don't know. Does he get the exposure that he needs? I don't know. But if you ask NBA fans, it's not even close to like where he is as a top five guy in the league. My question, though, is with all the equal criticism that you get, is LeBron wrong? Why do you want to be putting yourself in under that scrutiny if you don't have to? Why can't I just go out and make this money, play ball? And this is what Kevin Durant has said for a long time. I think, you know, when he says, man, can't we just play? Like, everybody wants to criticize you and talk about what you can and can't do. I just want to go out here and play. But the point is, when you're a winner and you're a champion and you're one of the best to do it, there is a responsibility that comes with that. And so, Turtle, I just ask, why would you want to, when you said it, the equal amount of scrutiny that you get now, even more so on social media, you leave the arena, you turn your phone on, bloop, bloop, you suck tonight. You were 0 for 5 from beyond the arc. You can't hit a 3 to save your life. Man, I don't even know why we paying you the money we paying you. It is nonstop. You want to live that way? You want to be under that barrage of criticism? Because that is what happens. And then most of you are going to say, well, Dukes, if you paid me $20 million, it wouldn't matter. It does. You want to talk about mental health, but yet in the same sentence, you don't care about it. All you care about is the money. That is a hard thing, man, for guys to balance. And that's all I'm saying about why I think LeBron is on to something. I don't know if he's right. All I know is for the last 20 years, he hadn't had one misstep.
I know we got a break. Here's my simple answer to that, Carl. Has nothing to do with money. Scrutiny equals interest. If you love the sport, you're going to criticize it. If you love watching these guys night in and night out, I don't care if it's me and you on a big platform, or I don't care if it's Joe and Josh sitting at the bar down the street at Taco Mac. If you love the sport, you're going to criticize it. But today, much differently than when Michael Jordan played 30 years ago, everybody has a platform to let their voices be heard. And it's never been this way before. So the modern athlete is taking it personally, but they need to realize that it's not coming from a place where we're saying we don't like you. We're saying we want you to be better because we care. And that's the difference.
Chris is in for Mike today. It's Dukes and Bell. We're coming back. Hawks CEO Steve Koonin next. You know, with our conversation about LeBron and what he said about being the face of the NBA and his comments about Ant-Man last night, and we've been talking about Michael Jordan as well. Falcon Report's on the way, guys. What better person to have on than Steve Koonin, Hawks CEO? And Steve, we'll talk about tonight's game, OKC here at the arena tonight at State Farm and where the Hawks are. But I want to get your opinion because you've done both sides of this. And we were simply talking about the responsibility that comes with being the perceived or the actual face of the NBA. Obviously, it was Michael Jordan for a long time. LeBron has had that reign for, you know, I think 20 years. Despite there have been other NBA champions, he's been the guy. And we were just talking about, you know, the pressure that comes with that. And when LeBron says last night after that game, why would anybody want to do this when, you know, the people that cover us and, you know, the people that are around our sport always crap on those guys, I understand where Ant-Man's coming from. I think it's a very hard thing to maintain without losing your cool and knowing that the criticism is going to come, whether you're good or bad. And LeBron's been more good than anything. Steve, what do you think about this?
Well, I think, you know, it's incredibly hard to be a superstar at all times. And you've got, with Anthony, you've got a human component, you've got a maturity and age and experience component, and you also have a breaking point. And a lot of times, and I think social media has exacerbated it, your breaking point might not be obvious to people because, you know, we coach, don't read the comment section, because if you did, you're going to curl up in a ball. And I just think that sometimes these high expectations are just not going to be met, and then people are going to be people. I mean, think of the pressure LeBron is under. You know, you're expected to win every game. You're the reason people come out in many cities to go see him and pay a premium to go see him. You've been doing this for a long, long time. You had a dream to play with your son, and that's been assailed from multiple different directions. And, you know, I just think that it's really, really hard on these guys. I am very sympathetic to today's situation. On the other hand, movie stars are told you don't get paid to be an actor. You get paid to promote the movie you just acted in. And I think promoting the sport and promoting, you know, the game and promoting the NBA and promoting yourself are part of what they get paid for.
Steve, when it comes to...
I hope that made sense.
No, it absolutely did. And a perfect segue talking about promoting things. One thing the Atlanta Hawks need to be promoting is playing more consistent defense. They had a great performance against the Miami Heat, and then they had a not-so-great performance against the Miami Heat in the following game. And they had had a few games of late where they've given up a lot of points, and it's not something that's been consistent now for a couple of years. What have you been hearing from Quinn and his staff? And by the way, obviously no Jalen Johnson, which is a huge component for that because he's a really good defender. But what have you been hearing from Quinn and his staff about how they're trying to get more consistent on that side of the basketball?
They are trying to get more consistent, but we've got three new players in the rotation with, Terrence Mann coming in, guys coming from Cleveland, and it takes time, and you're missing, one of your top two defenders in Jalen. But it is interesting. We, for a while, I think we were up to 12th in defense, and I think right now we've fallen back to 15th in the middle of the pack. But we're not going to win on a consistent basis with an inconsistent defense. The Miami game, off of back-to-back, that was just a rock fight. I think they were 7 for 40 from three. We knew they were going to be much better at home after a rest. So, but consistency is the key, and hopefully we see that consistency come back, especially as we're getting to these meaningful games in March and early April.
We got a big homestand, right? I mean, we're at home for like 2 weeks. Is that right? Something
it's
of that
close.
Nature.
I mean, there's a bop out of town. I think we go up to Charlotte, but, ostensibly, yeah, that's right. I mean, yeah. Look, we like playing a lot of our games in the second half of the season, and we want to play meaningful games in front of our fans at home. So we love our schedule. We're very pleased with it.
Steve Coonan joining us.
We've got quite a challenge tonight.
No doubt. Oklahoma City guys, some people think they're the best team in the league. Certainly the best team in the Western Conference. They have star power and SGA. And, I think this is one of the most interesting teams. And they're young. I mean, like, this was a rebuild that happened, and they're entertaining. So it should be a fun game tonight, no doubt. I want to ask you about how I feel that the Hawks shut down the process, because we found out just literally moments ago that the 76ers are shutting down Joel Embiid. Knee injury is ending his season. We know he played in the Olympics, and that was a proud moment for him. But also, I thought that because of that, Steve, he didn't allow his knee to rest. He only played in 19 games this season. But if you guys go back 4 or 5 years ago and you talk about where the Sixers were and what everybody thought they'd be, it has never really panned out. And when we beat them to move to the Eastern Conference Finals, I think we broke the process.
I think we've joked about that several times on this show, that Ben Simmons mentally got into a very strange place, and now he's out of Philadelphia. Embiid has not, been able to maintain health in his entire career, which also makes me wonder about long-term about Wemby with the major, issue he has now.
Sure.
A 7'2" body, how does that hold up over time? And then they brought in Paul George, who I just think is having an off year, but, who knows? Could be father time. It could be, just the whole rhythm of the team. But, what if Joel Embiid rests and all of a sudden they got the first pick in the draft next year, and this year in this loaded draft?
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden they'd say it was a plan.
Yeah, exactly.
Steve, when it comes to the end of the regular season, the record right now may not be where you guys would have hoped, but that doesn't matter because you guys are right in the thick of it. A few games separate the 9 from the 6 seed, which is only a few games separated from the 4 seed. So there's still enough games to make an impact here as the playoffs come near. But at the end of the day, when you look at what's transpired so far this season, how do you guys balance for the remainder of the year getting the most that you can out of guys like Zachary Risacher, who can use all the minutes and all the shots he can take, but also trying to remain competitive, as I said, because there's so much leeway in terms of the spots that are up for grabs?
We believe those. It's a great question, but we believe they're one and the same. Zachary is playing, in fact, more meaningful minutes. You're seeing him in the fourth quarter. You're seeing him at crunch time. And it's not to develop him. It's because he's delivering. He's averaging over 15 points a game in his last 20 games. And he has played some really good defense for us. We want to be in the playoffs. We will be in the playoffs bold statement. Might have to go through the play-in to get to the playoffs, but we want to be in the playoffs. That's what we think this team is capable of. And, you know, again, luck is such an, especially injury luck, is such a difficult factor, because I think with Jalen Johnson healthy, this team would not be even discussing play-in, wouldn't even be sniffing play-in. His numbers for the first half of the year had only been exceeded by LeBron, Giannis, Oscar Robertson, and Magic Johnson, when it was points, assists, steals, and points, assists, steals, and rebounds. So very tough, very difficult blow for us.
Yeah, no doubt. It's hard when we look on the bench and we see Jalen over there. We're like, oh, if only he was playing. This,
and I'm
this
not
would
sure our fans
different.
Really understand the emergence and what this guy really has the potential to be and was showing us this year. You don't just put next man up in basketball like you might put a left guard up in football. I mean, he was running the offense when Trey was off the floor. He and Dyson really played lockdown defense. So it really, really, really had an impact. Far exceeds just, you know, next man up in the rotation.
I want to ask you about another great player as we're talking with Steve Koonin, Hawks CEO. Hawks in action tonight, guys, here at State Farm Arena, OKC in town. Tickets still available, by the way?
The game sold out, but there are standing room only tickets, which is so much fun. So come on down. Get in on a standing room only ticket. Watch from one of the bars and really enjoy the game. Love to have you.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I want to ask you about Steph Curry. We've never seen anything like this. I mean, he had 56 last night against Orlando, and I just watched the highlights. I didn't watch the game, and it still blows me away at the shots and how he's able to do what he's doing, and we keep thinking he's going to fall off. There's no fall off. He showed out and literally won the gold medal for us at the Olympics, and you see last night's performance, and you're just like, this guy's incredible.
Have you watched this Netflix show, Court of Gold?
No, I haven't seen it.
It's outstanding. 6 episodes, and it documents the U.S. Olympic team as well as Canada and Serbia's teams in the Olympics. And I was so fortunate that I was able to go to the Summer's Olympics and watch Steph Curry literally win one of the greatest basketball games ever played, which was the U.S. versus Serbia, down by 17. And Steph almost single-handedly brought it back for us. And it's pretty amazing to watch, so I would recommend everybody who's got Netflix, which hopefully is everyone, watches that, because it's unbelievable. What he's doing is just unprecedented. He had 22 points in the third quarter. I think he outscored Orlando by himself.
Mm. It's nuts. It just is. Before
it's
we let
so
you go.
It's so entertaining and
it
so
is.
Fun.
It's crazy sometimes.
By the way, they're coming here. They're coming here in a couple of weeks with Jimmy Butler. I think they're 8 out of 9 since Butler's joined. Great. Yeah,
that's right. They've lost one game since Jimmy Butler got there. Yeah,
so they're coming here in 2 weeks. 2 weeks from tonight, as a matter of fact.
Okay. Mark your calendars.
No, 3 weeks from tonight. 3 weeks from tonight. Mark right, it down. Tickets are available.
In March. No, I was just going to say, I hope we don't take for granted we're watching the greatest shooter we've ever seen. That's all. This is the greatest shooter. And there have been greats. We talk about Bird and all these guys. He didn't do this. This
you can't even compare. This is the greatest shooter we've ever seen.
I totally agree. All right, real quick before we let you go, combine dogs there. How many dogs do you think are going in the first round? Kirby has, I think, 17 dogs or something of that nature in the first round, and he's at like 48 guys. It's an obscene number when you start talking about dogs in the first round since Kirby's been at Georgia. What do you think about this year?
So there's two ways to look at it. Look at it through your heart or look at it through your head. I'll start with the Hawks. There's 32 slots in the draft in the first round. I think everyone will be from Georgia. So I'm going to say 32. But if you look at with your head, I think you're going to see 3 in the top 12. And you're starting, you know, all coming from the defense, which is kind of interesting. I think there's, you know, you're going to have Malachi going, you're going to have Jalen going, you're going to have Mykal Williams going. I think all 3 go in the first 12. And, it was pretty easy to cheer for Philadelphia in the Super Bowl because half of that lineup was Georgia.
Yeah, It's true. Yeah.
And in a copycat league, let's go, Falcons. We could use a dog or two.
Well, they might be there. We've been talking about it. We're going to see how things shake out. Steve, man, have a great weekend. Hawks in action tonight, guys, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game against OKC. But look at the schedule because they are literally home. They're going to take a quick trip, I think, to Memphis, and then they come back, and it's like, you know, seven home games or something of that nature over the next 2.5 weeks. So come down and check them out. Steve, thanks again.
Thank you. Thank you, Carl. Great job you're doing on TV. I enjoy watching you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. We're coming back. We've got a lot more to get to, including why the decision by Matt Stafford could affect the Falcons. Believe it or not, I actually agree with Turtle on something. We'll explain next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.